This morning, I've chosen to speak to you on the topic surrender. Let's bow our heads in prayer. A loving God, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, and for your constant reaching out after us. As we come before you this morning, Lord, hide sinful man, and let your word speak to the hearts of your people in ways that will transform us and lead us to our knees in a deeper commitment and relationship with you, for Christ's sake. When I've been thinking about this topic, surrender, for a long, long time. Because in my own personal life, I had to struggle with different issues, and I've seen other people struggle. And this becomes a critical word in spiritual formation. So I've been wanting to preach on surrender for quite some time, but I finally sat down to dig into it. And when I dug into it, I found that the word surrender is not used a lot in the Bible. It's used in the Old Testament, primarily in the context of conflict, war, and one army surrendering to the other, or a city surrendering because it's surrounded, or you know, something like that. Usually in that context. And so when I thought I'd find some nice text in the New Testament that talk about surrendering to Jesus, and it's just not there. But the principle and the thought is there in such powerful ways. We'll explore some of it today. And so we come to the definition of the word surrender. The one I chose to share with you is: cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Let me read it again. Cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. So, tell you what, let me switch here. So why do human beings need to surrender to God? Is God our enemy? But our nature is his enemy. Our sinful nature. And so that needs to be surrendered. And if you look at the beginning, when man sinned, our nature was changed, and the nature of Cain, envy, anger, jealousy took over. He became the first murderer. And as time went on, under the influence of sin, the Bible says that the thoughts of man's heart was what? Evil continually. That is at enmity with God. So in our humanness, if it's raw flesh, it is anti-God. So it needs to be surrendered so God can transform us, so we can be like him. And it's not just, we're not just talking about the first time you come to Jesus. It's a daily experience. A daily experience. I believe that when David slew Goliath, he was in a powerfully rich relationship with God. A man of faith, great faith. And as he got in the conflict with Saul, he must have felt many times, you know, I'm ministering to this man has turned against me, he's a pain in the neck, but let me do what God wants me to do in ministering to my king. And then eventually he had to flee, and God protected him in so many ways while he was fleeing. And then he became king. And then came Bathsheba. Part of him that was unsurrendered surfaced and made a makeup of his life. And here's what happened to us. When we are not surrendered in an aspect of our lives and we are conscious of it,
we manipulate ourselves and the world around us to behave as though it's not that bad. So he fixed it. He laughed the man. Hide the matter. Everything Chris, we're going forward. And then comes Naaman. And you know, there's something fascinating about us human beings and the Naaman experience. It brings it out. Okay. When we are examining a matter purely from an intellectual perspective, we can be so objective. But when it becomes personal, we become so defensive and protective of ourselves, it blinds us. But God, the great hound of heaven, loved David so much, he would not leave him in his sin. And he will not leave us in our sin. He will reach out after us every day in every way, to bring us to that place where that which would kill us is moved away and we have life in Him. And so, do we need to surrender? Oh, hallelujah, yes we do. But I tell you, it is so fascinating. If people only knew, and the old song so says, if they knew the blessing that salvation brings, they would never, never stay away. So, what are the barriers? What are the barriers to surrender? One of them is, we want to be in control of our lives. And the reason is, there are sometimes difficulties that we have gone through, painful experiences that we don't want to come back to us again. And so we think that by controlling what happens in and around our lives, we can keep pain from coming to us again. But when our lives are consumed with protecting ourselves, we build walls that keep others out, disrupt communication, alienate people who love us, block our view of reality, and thereby distort our view of ourselves. That was number one barrier. Number two barrier is the love of the things God does not approve of. And we're going to read from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. I'm going to read from the New International Version. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful nature, the lust of the eye, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, what? Pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. So, there are many individuals who hold back from surrendering to God because they have in their hearts the love of the world. And for many people, sin is sweet. Don't make anybody fool you. Some people out there are having a wonderful time. But there's a day coming when it is going to tumble down. And when life tumbles in, it's trouble. And some people hold back from surrendering because they have this idea that if they allow God to run their lives, they'll be missing something. I don't know about you, but I've been there. You get to a place where the Spirit says, and all of us in our personal devotion, God takes us to that place where there's something we have to give up. There's a state of mind He wants to take us to that's close to Him, where we let go of all the other stuff we've been holding on. And I got there, one of the times in my devotion, I got there to where I was talking to God about our relationship and a deeper experience and the call to surrender and to be willing to do and be what God wants me to be no matter what, came to my mind. I jumped back. In my mind, I pulled back and wondered if God was going to take me somewhere that I didn't want to go. And I caught myself thinking this abominable thought. And I had to say to myself, hold a minute now. Who are you relating to? It is the great God who loves you more than you love yourself. How can you recoil from that thought? He knows what is best for you and will not lead you down a path that will ever be destructive for you. How are you going to be recoiling at the thought of surrendering your all, even that deeper inner part that you think you need to take control of because you want to be able to decide if he sends you to Haiti or to Africa or to America? And so, Eve ventured down that road, figuring there is something else in life that if you stay with God's program, you will miss out on. And you see where it landed us. So, loved ones, let us be conscious that there's nothing that the world has to offer. There's nothing waiting out there. There's nothing more to be had than what God has in store for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number 4, surrender to God makes us vulnerable to the changes he will make in our lives. And sometimes we are afraid of that. If we kind of like things, I use this analogy sometimes. There are some people in some jobs, and they hate the job. It's just disgusting. They drag themselves each morning to go to work. They don't like what they're doing, but they don't look for anything else. Because somehow there's another side of them that is comfortable with the sameness of the situation. And they're afraid that if they get into another situation, the change will be so drastic they won't be able to handle it. And the same thing happens with us and God in this matter of surrender. Because there are times when we think that if we give ourselves unreservedly to God, he's going to change up our lives so much that we won't be comfortable with where he has taken us. Number 5, some people are afraid of the social changes that will take place. I will lose my friends and become an enemy to my family. I can assure you of this. Your friends may, in the short term, turn their backs on you. But you draw close to God, one day you're going to be a great blessing to them. You notice all the people who say to you, "Are you too holy, holy, and Christian, Christian?" When trouble take them, who they ask to pray for them? The problem that they have is that the Spirit is talking to them too and telling them that they need to make that change in their lives too. But misery loves company. I'll tell you a story. Many years ago in Westmoreland, they had a crusade. Two sisters went to the crusade. They were convicted. They wanted to be baptized. But their father said, "No, no way. You're not becoming Adventist." They kept going to the crusade. The appeals came. They went forward. But the father would never give permission for baptism. The crusade was winding up. And one sister said, "I don't care what my father says. I'm going to do right between me and my God." And she went forward and she got baptized. But she alerted the Bible worker and the pastor that there was trouble. There's going to be trouble at home because the father said, any of you get baptized, you're not coming back in my house. And so they took her home that night. And true to his word, the father said, she's not coming back in here. You baptize her, you take her. So the pastor and his wife took her home, made arrangements for her to go to West Indies College. And she went, finished high school, did her college program, work study, and finally she finished and graduated as a teacher. She went out, worked for a while, wound up teaching at a school in Hanover. And while she was there, she met a pastor. And the pastor was pastoring in Westmoreland, in the very community where she lived. And when the pastor heard her name, he said, are you related to so-and-so? She said, yes, do you know about them? And they said, yes. She said, that's my father, that's my sister. And so, how come you don't know about them? And she told the story. And she wondered, I wonder if they would accept me if I go back to visit them. And he said, your father is most favorably disposed to the Advent faith now. I have a good relationship with him. He's sick. Your sister has 4 illegitimate children. No one helping her with them. They're in a state of poverty and hardship. I'm sure they'll be happy to see you. And so they made the arrangement. It was a surprise visit. She asked the pastor to find out the sizes of the age and size of the children. She went shopping and she bought clothes for the kids. She bought groceries, you know, fixed things up. And he came and picked her up, loaded everything in the car. They drove across the hill over into Westmoreland and she went to see her father. He was overjoyed to see her. And there was a grand, crying family reunion. And she now became the bulwark of the family. The stone that the builder rejected, what? Becomes the chief cornerstone. You can't lose with God. The devil is a loser. But when you surrender to God and He takes charge of your life and lead you step by step, man will fail you, but God will always carry you through. So don't be afraid of what people will say. You're too holy, you're too righteous. So what are the benefits of surrender? When one surrenders to God, one allows God to come in and transform the life. We become a child of God. And the psalm we read for our scripture reading, the shepherd's psalm, I imagine David, you know, writing this psalm in a saved state, reveling in the joy of a rich and wonderful relationship with God. And he says, he just takes excellent care of me. But when things get rough, I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. What? I don't have to be afraid. When you're on your own running out there and trouble takes you, you can't even find a picnic shirt much less to get it to fit you. Because you're on your own. But when God is with you, He gives you the courage to not be afraid in trouble. And He carries you through it to a better place. And when the enemies surround you, you know, I don't understand people who get bent out of shape because people don't like them and people are saying nice things about them and stuff like that. And even when I get there and I play the fool, I wonder what kind of fool I'm playing of myself. Because He says He will spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
That's what David experienced. He said, he blessed me so much that my enemies had to look on and see the joy and the pleasures and the bounties that God gave to me. Oil of blessings and goodness just flowing down over my soul. And he says, I pledge my life to stay in this relationship with my God forever, and I will dwell in the house of God. In your house, Lord. In your house. In your house, I will live in the joy of your presence. In your house, I will live in the security of your protection. In your house, my every need is supplied. And I will sit at your table and feast on your bounties. Yes, Lord, by your grace, I will dwell in your house forever. Amen.